Hi everyone, welcome to episode 355 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always joined by KC.
Yo.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Yeah, all good. It's slightly less rushed than normal. Still fairly rushed because I've got to work after this, but instead of having 10 minutes, I've got like 45. Makes it a bit easier. Do you want to talk about the football first, or do we need to get that useless fuck out of the way?
I mean, it's a bit harsh to talk about Lucas Metcher that way, but sure, let's go into it.
Fair. So, Thomas Bramall, here we are again. Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Fark's already got in trouble previously for talking about Thomas Bramall. This is not an isolated incident. I feel, at the start of this sentence, I feel like I should be on Arsenal Fan TV or something like that. But it's not a conspiracy. He is just completely fucking incompetent.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I've seen him or paid much attention to any non-Leeds games, but the Leeds games I have seen, he has been, at best, very poor.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there was several games last season that we got fucked over in purely because of this one referee. And then we're coming to the Premier League, the same thing happens. It's no wonder Leeds fans are getting a complex. Because, like, Sunderland, blatant penalty, not given. Man City is the game before that, blatant penalty for handball, late in the game, not given.
Mm.
Now, I am aware that everyone will go, oh, you know, swings and roundabouts and things like that. And that is true. But we're in a running that's, you know, the potential to get us relegated at the end of it if things don't go our way. No points against Man City, no points against Sunderland, 1 point against Palace. And it is very, very arguable that if refereeing had been applied properly, we would have 7 points instead of one. It's arguable we'd have got a point against Man City because it was a late penalty. Now, admittedly, we might have fucking missed it like we did against Palace. I think if we go 1-0 up against Sunderland in that awful game, I think we win.
Hmm. Yeah,
I reckon it's probably fair to say that if we'd have been given those two penalties, we'd have scored one of them, probably.
Yeah.
So, at the very least, you're getting something. I am baffled. We'll just get into it. The first yellow that Goodmanson gets is absolutely a yellow card. He gets done. He cynically pulls him back. No worries. But the second one is never a booking in a million fucking years. Now, it's not just that Bramall clearly forgot he'd booked him already because he had to be told by the Palace players that he had to send him off. It's the reason that he booked him that makes me... Because, obviously, he hasn't given an interview or something, but I know exactly why he booked him. He should have played advantage.
Hmm.
Palace played a good ball out to the right-hand side that he had fucking 30 yards to run into. It was a clear advantage, and he didn't give it. And he panicked and thought, I better book him and then it doesn't look like I've made a mistake. And in doing so, he made an even bigger mistake. And that is just someone who is so in their own head instead of just managing the game. That's someone who is an incompetent referee who shouldn't be doing his job. That is fucking up in order to chase after a fuck up you made previously and making things worse is what people who are bad at their job do. We've all worked with him in whatever work of life you're in. People who do things like that.
I think sort of compounding that as well is it did feel like he was trying to make up for not doing anything with the coming together of Bial and Sarr.
Yeah.
What was that 2 minutes earlier where...
When he correctly didn't give a second yellow card.
Yeah.
But the kickoff, I think, did get in his head. Because... I mean, Sarr ran into Bial. He bumped his lip on his shoulder.
That man needed medical attention.
Have you ever, like, gone to Kishel Asop back at Ed and she's moved her head back at the same time?
Mm.
That's basically what happened. You know what that doesn't need? 5 fucking paramedics? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, he bust his lip open. It'll have hurt. But, like, come on, they're acting... Because I have seen this unironically described by Palace fans as the referee missing Bial throwing an elbow and hitting Sarr in the face. Which just, not oh, I see it differently, just didn't happen. I know we're in this post-truth era now where you can just say whatever you want and it doesn't matter anymore whether, what the truth is. No, that it didn't happen.
I've seen it not happen from several different angles.
But I think you're right that the kickoff, Glasner going mental, all of that stuff, and, you know, that resulted in Fart going mental. They both got booked, all the players being at each other. I think he thought that he'd got that long when he hadn't, and then that gets in his head.
I've got to reassert control here.
Yeah.
The frustrating thing what with it as well is, even in isolation, it's not a yellow card. It is a 50-50 challenge that Goodmanson is narrowly second to.
Saar gets there first. It's a foul, nothing more. Saar somehow goes down holding his stomach and then his leg and then rolling around. Because he was, let's say, willing to make it look worse than it was, because that was his second attempt at getting someone sent off in the space of 3 minutes.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Because I'm not saying it's a dive, because he did foul him. It's everything afterwards.
It's exaggerated.
Yeah.
And like you say, you're watching this reaction the whole time, and just, it's one of the few times in that game I'm not mad at the Palace players for screaming at the ref to go, well, you've got to send him off now, because they're absolutely right. Once he's got that yellow card out,
oh yeah, it's done. It's too late.
Yeah. They have. I did love the attempts of just shoving Goodmanson away, go, shut up and get to left back.
What game was it? Was it like sensible soccer or something where you could just run away from the referee and eventually, and you just won't get booked?
if you just make it last long enough, he'll go away. The hopefulness of that was quite funny.
It took long enough that I did have time when we were watching the game in the pub to shout, Fark, sub him immediately.
Damn it, why don't we have someone who looks like him? That's no, Sam Byron was playing left back this whole time. but like you say, it was farcical by that point, and I think there's when you see at half time Farker and Glasner walking down the tunnel, basically I don't know what they were saying word for word, but I'm pretty sure it was close to, well, this guy hasn't got a clue, has he?
Yeah. There was a bit in the second half as well, weren't there, where they cut to him on the touchline and they were stood next to each other, like he might have even had his arm around him, just like talking to each other, and it was immediately after another ridiculous refereeing decision. Might have even been one of the ones that benefited us. And they were just looking, you could tell they were just looking at him like, this guy has no idea what he's fucking doing.
And I think obviously, as with most times when you go out to watch football, you are sat around complaining about how shit VAR is, but and I had even said the words earlier, I'd much rather a referee just make a mistake and have no assistance with it. And then I did look at that, and there was a brief moment of going, because one of the things we mentioned was that they are looking at for VAR, potentially looking at having VAR look into second yellow cards.
Yeah. Which I don't want. I wish the whole thing would fuck off.
No, I don't. And that will just end the same way as with a load of penalties going, well, once it's given, it won't get overturned.
Yeah.
Unless it's an egregious error. But yeah, I think it was all then made worse by Brennan Johnson not getting a second yellow card somehow.
Yeah. I mean, the Brennan Johnson one is more cynical. It is a worse foul. I am absolutely fine with Brennan Johnson not getting a second yellow card, so long as he hasn't already set the benchmark with what he's done with Goodmanson. If both of them stay on the pitch and get like, right, watch your send, you're already on a yellow and you just... I would have been fine with it. But once you have sent Goodmanson off, You have absolutely no choice but to send Brendan Johnson off for this. And as much as I've took the piss out of Palace fans' reaction to the Beal thing, in fairness to them, I haven't seen a single one not say, oh yeah, Brendan Johnson should have got sent off as well. They have all gone, oh yeah, absolutely. Because it's the clearest thing in the world.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we get accused of by our own fans a lot is that we don't play the game so much with crowding the referee.
And they're right.
And in that instance, look, I hate it, and I don't want that to be what football becomes or what Leeds players become. Mm. But you're watching, like, when you sort of look at the Palace players' reaction to the second Goodmanson yellow card, and
even before the card itself, they are all mad at the ref.
Well, I mean, he'd missed with the Beal one. He'd missed Gesand waving an imaginary card at him. That should have been a booking. You've got Canvo, who I don't think there is a rule for it, but absolutely should be booked for celebrating someone getting sent off like that.
You want him booked on principle? I have to admit, I've just found the Canvo thing funny. I wasn't angry at Canvo.
Grown man.
He's like 19. Like, don't get me wrong, it's a bit pathetic, but like, whatever. That didn't bother me in the slightest. I did just think that was funny.
Yeah. But then you come to that Johnson foul where, like you say, player's gone, he's cynically brought him down, it's a yellow card all day.
Yeah. But James I think it was on James Justin, wasn't it? And he just bounced back up.
Yeah.
I'm with you, it shouldn't be like this. But if he rolls around on the floor and acts like it's fucking killed him, and all the Leeds players get not just say to Rammel, ref, how is that different? I mean, like, they all, four of them surround him and go, how is that not? Because they're probably not going to get booked for surrounding the referee, because that's been the law all season. I've seen someone get booked for it once. Like, if they have a go, I better get sent off. And like, he was lucky not to get booked early on, Brendan Johnson. He'd had a foul that was pretty much definitely a yellow card before he got booked. But I was okay with him letting that one go because he let Strouk off with one early on, where he probably could have booked him. So I was like, all right, consistent, fair refereeing. Huh. If you keep that going and you are, no one gets annoyed. It is just, I mean, you know, after the Sunderland game, the VAR got stood down, didn't they, and weren't officiating the following weekend because they'd got the rules of the game entirely wrong and fucked over Leeds. Well, I mean, it should happen again here. But the problem is, all he gets sent to then is he gets sent to a Championship game to fuck someone else over. He's useless.
Yeah, there is a part of me now that has wondered if there is. If there's any need in us just going, right, who are the best referees in the world? Fucking get them here.
It's been talked about before, hasn't it? Just like,
let's just go buy some referees.
It was always said, how much money does Pierluigi Collina want to just come left the FA Cup final?
Get him in, glare at some people, set them all straight. But yeah, I
really do think that a lot of this comes down to VAR coming in. And I genuinely believe that all the top-level referees have just got worse at their job because they're so used to relying on VAR.
Yeah, it's, like you say, it's that thing of the ref is hoping that by not making a decision in many instances that there'll be a whisper in the ear going, actually, mate, that's a blatant red card, is that?
Yeah. I think it's just had a knock-on effect to all decisions all the way through.
Mm.
Like, this has nothing to do with AR, it's a second yellow. But I just think they have become worse because because they know that the technology is there to second-guess them, I think they're now sort of all second-guessing themselves. And it's just made for a worse game, a worse product. It's just worse in every way. And it's, again, a thing that Marcelo Bielsa talked about 2-3 years ago, saying how this is what's going to happen with VAR. And he's right. But, again, if we stay up at the end of the season, we'll forget about all this. But if we go down, we will be in that position of being that fucking whiny fan base that goes, well, we didn't get relegated by the football teams. We got relegated by the refs. And that will be a massive oversimplification of us not having a good end to the season and all that stuff. But it won't be untrue.
Yeah, it's not the entire picture, but it is a decent proportion of it. I wonder if
this is what Wolves fans felt like last season or season before, where they just kept getting royally screwed over.
Yeah.
And like, fans of every other club were like, ah, they've got a point.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's just getting to this point now where if we go down, you actually have to look at Bournemouth at home.
Yeah, Spurs, we're not scoring enough goals a lot of the time.
Newcastle away, Villa away, those sorts of games where you've lost points from very good positions.
Always late on as well.
Yeah, that will be the main reason we go down if we do. But as you say, that the idea that you can sit there and listen to someone go, well, the reason that's not handball in the Man City game is because, you know, he wasn't looking, you know, he wasn't watching the ball, like, well, no, his arm's out in front of him. Like, Will Hughes might not have been looking at the ball when he went for it, but his arm's up in the air. It's not in a natural position.
Yeah, it was a volleyball block at the net.
Yeah, it's a great block as well.
Yeah, he did well to get down. We will move on to football itself then at that point and talk about the penalty first, because we're on the subject. It's a definite penalty. I haven't seen anyone... I haven't seen any Palace fans argue against it either, really, to be fair. There's been a few people go, I think he got a little push in the back, but, you know, you can't do that with your arms. That's about the best defence for him. However, doesn't matter, because now look, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's been an excellent signing. He definitely played really well when we had 10 men. He responded to this excellently. It's a long time since I've seen a player miss a penalty because he's just kicked the ball wrong. Just straight up, gone to side foot it and hit it with his heel. Like, that's... Like, I think you could walk behind any pub where there's a Sunday league game on, and if there's someone taking the penalty, I bet they won't do that. I just don't know what happened.
I mean, it's a weird one, because obviously, in terms of penalty run-ups, most people's biggest gripe is the stuttered run-up. Because if you miss like that, you just look like a pillock.
Yeah.
It's a really odd way to do that. He took that penalty like it was five aside rules, where it's like, right, you've got two steps.
Yeah.
That's it. And he just, and I don't know whether he didn't get his angles right when he set himself up, but he just, it never looked comfortable. And yeah, I'd say he just passes it. Very confidently passes it wide.
Yeah, well, all it is if you imagine it's a foot, instead of striking it here, he struck it here.
Yeah.
But I've seen it happen loads of times with a moving ball.
You've set this up yourself.
Yeah, you've put, it's there. I like Calvert-Lewin, and, you know, provided he's fit, should stay in the team, all of that stuff. But I'm baffled as to how he's managed to do that as a, not just a professional footballer, this is an England international footballer who's a striker. I just can't see how... your goalkeeper shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's just... It was baffling.
I was a bit surprised it was Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, we both said beforehand that this should be Metcher before we took the penalty.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking it's put so much doubt into me. I'm starting to think it should be Strouk again.
Yeah.
But
it is unfortunate that, and he's missed one in the FA Cup, that the one player that we did actually trust on penalties is never going to be in the team.
Alex Cairns.
Yeah, because Peru is like just about the only trustworthy penalty taker we've had in a while, isn't he?
Yeah. There is part of me, do you just trust Anton Stack to smack it really hard, or is it too close?
I he in theory must be a decent penalty taker. It is just ball striking with no other factors. Like, he should be good at it.
Maybe he just can't score within 18 yards.
And he doesn't seem like someone who would struggle for nerves. And to stereotype, he's German. That always helps.
Yeah.
With penalties.
I mean, if you can look at that Villa free kick situation and think, yeah, I'm just going to put this in the top corner. Like, at that point, I think you should be okay with a penalty.
Yeah. But we missed it, and it was the massive missed opportunity. I mean, we were better side 11v11, but we didn't create loads of chances before the penalty. That Aronson one, where he got in behind and sort of dragged it wide left-footed, was probably the best one. But first half, you go in 0-0, you're really disappointed because you missed a penalty. And you know how difficult the second half's going to be with 10 men. The half-time changes, neither of us were big fans of at the time. Bogle and Gruev for Aronson and Metcher. 5-3-1. Very defensive. And it's definitely more... I mean, I was more okay with it than you, I think. You wanted us to keep to up top and be, even if you're defensive, have an out ball.
Yeah.
And we did miss an out ball. We barely were able to get going. But to give Fak a lot of credit, they didn't have any shots on target against 10 men.
I mean, I think the bizarre thing was, I understand them coming back out with that team. That's absolutely fine. Once you'd seen we'd gone to one up top, sticking with a back three.
Yeah, and they stayed negative for a while, didn't they?
Well, because there was the point where Mateta's coming on, and you're like, oh, this will be a centre-back on, go to foot. No, straight swap.
I've just looked. Wharton for Hughes, Mateta for Strand Larsen was 60 minutes. Pino for Johnson is basically like for like. Kamada for Canvo was the attacking change, and that was the 80th minute.
Like,
it was very Daniel Fark, to be honest.
Yeah. You were looking at it just going, like, if you were a Palace fan looking at that game, I'd have been livid at just thought, like, we have nothing really to play for here in the league, and our home form's not great. Let's go for this. Because if we lose, well, we've lost a lot at home anyway. It's fine. But yeah, it's just this situation that they're in at the moment as well, where it's... I think a lot of it is that they're just floating through till the end of the season now and trying to figure out where they go from there.
Yeah, because they know they're going to have a different coach. They're
going to lose a centre-forward.
Yeah, there is a very good chance, despite how poor they've been and despite the poor result that they had in midweek, there's a very good chance they will be in Europe next year. Because... they should win the Conference League.
Yeah.
Who else is in it? Is it like them and it's usually Fiorentina?
Yeah, Fiorentina was who first came to my head there. Fiorentina.
Yeah, Palace, it's always Fiorentina.
AZ Alkmaar and Mainz are probably the big ones. Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah, if you're the Premier League team in that competition, you probably should win it. Or at least
Rayo Vallecano as well.
Yeah, but to be fair to him, like those half-time changes, Farker, he was at that point going for a point, got the point, and I thought Gruev did pretty well. You know, he's not pulling up any trees, he's not going to do anything out there, but he was a lot better than he'd been in a couple of previous games. Bogle was decent when he came on. Ali's in the comments saying Gruev was superb when he came on. Justin was a great outball for the first 10 minutes of the second half. I mean, like both those players, I think that they defended well. And in the end, it is like a good point. There was only one big moment of danger. Palace played a short 1-2 at a corner. Brennan Johnson, who, let's remember, shouldn't have been on the pitch at this point, put in a cross. First header from Lerma saved well, and Lerma gets there to head in the rebound. But Johnson was offside on the when it got played back out to him. At first, it just looked like we got away with one, but when you watch it back, Leeds defended really well. Everyone steps up. And I want to give particular credit to Calvert-Lewin, who's on the near post, because he gets out really quickly and he just gets out in time. it would have been so easy for him to be like, no, my job is defend the near post. I am defending the near post. Because this ball is definitely still going to come back in.
Yeah.
It would have been very easy for him to just stay in his position. But getting out to be ready to drop back in, just that not being lazy and doing the extra couple of yards makes all the difference.
Yeah. And to be fair as well, it's a really good save from Darlow.
Yeah, the first save is an excellent save.
But you come away from that and going, well, that was ruled out, and that was far and away Palace's best attack.
Well, I'd say they had no shots on target officially.
Yeah.
Because they had two then, but they were offside. One interesting thing that I've thought, and something that, to be honest, I'd forgotten had happened until I just looked to see when Palace's subs were. No further changes after those two half-time changes.
Yeah, I think...
Which is fine, obviously they did well, but I'm surprised at that.
I think the thing, and I think we've spoken about this the last couple of games, is that making the changes that he did, you've sort of locked yourself into playing a certain way for the rest of the half. And sort of by the 70-minute mark, you were going through the team and just going, the only thing I could really think of doing is, if you wanted to have a different sort of out ball, was to have Dan James as a, in theory, a striker, just to chase everyone down and maybe try and place over the top a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of us actually thought that would really happen.
No, if we'd have gone 1-0 down, you'd have got James and not done maybe Peru.
Yeah, the 3-2 fuck it, but minus one. Yeah. But yeah, and then sort of you're going through the rest of the bench. Gruev, as Ali mentioned there as well, had a really good game. Stack and Ampadu, as a three, they defended fantastically.
Yeah, because Longstaff in that situation is probably a decent shout, but the midfield were doing well.
Yeah, because there was one thing I was going to say to you during the game, and then I stopped myself just in case I jinxed it, and it was that, obviously, the concern was about Beal with him being on a yellow card, but there was nothing from him in regards to fouls or anything like that in the second half. No scares.
Farker did mention after the game, actually, that Bornau had been like ill all week, I think he said. So that was another reason why he was willing to chance it with Beal on the yellow.
I mean, I don't think in that situation I wanted Bornau on, just given his last couple of appearances.
I'll be honest, even though I don't think it was a second yellow at all, with the way they kicked off after that happened, if Goodmanson hadn't got sent off, I think I would have probably done Justin for Beal at half-time. And one, I think we could have got away with the slightly more attacking back three with Justin pushing up and get Bogle on at right wing back. But the reason would have been because I was worried the ref was going to send off Beal. It wasn't actually because he was playing badly.
Yeah. And again, I thought the three centre backs did a really good job, but Joe Roden was fantastic as ever.
Yeah, I was going to ask for your man of the match. Most people said Roden. Real time watching the game, I gave it Stack.
Yeah, I think his decision making on the ball in that second half was really good, just knowing when to slow things down and when to try and play us through.
Yeah, and when to just get rid.
Yeah.
So many people had Roden that I'm willing to say I'm probably wrong and it was Roden. Because it was like 80-odd% or something on the vote. And when I went on Twitter afterwards, everyone was on about how good Roden was. So it probably was Roden.
Hmm.
But I thought that there were a lot of them played well. I thought Ampadu was pretty good.
Yeah. And again, like you say, when you go through the subs we had available, like if you're going to do like for like for any of them, it's Piru on for Calvert-Lewin. It's not going to happen. Tanaka wasn't going to come on in that situation. Hmm. Nonto and James weren't going to come on in that situation. So you're kind of running through the team just going, well, there's not really any of them here that you'd want to bring on unless we'd gone 1-0 down.
Yeah. But no, it's frustrating. You miss a penalty like that. But it's a good point. The only problem is we've had a lot of good points where you just need to turn two of them into wins. All of these good points, and you could name fucking seven of them maybe. Even if you win two of them and lose two of them, you'd be looking at odds of 16-20 to 1 on us going down instead of five.
It does mean unbeaten in three in London, though.
Yeah. And we're going to continue to be unbeaten in London on our way to the FA Cup. So
you've got us down not losing losing on the last day of the season, then?
Oh, no, we're losing that. Yeah, good point. We're losing that on purpose. Because the FA Cup final is before that in this season.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I think
it's the weekend before. We're losing that because we're already safe by then, and we are losing to West Ham because even though there's been a full week, everyone is spectacularly hungover.
Mateus Click style.
Yeah, we'd also have lost. We'd also have to play whatever the second to last game is, the midweek of that. Because I'm sure that the last game of the season is like the 24th and the FA Cup final is the 17th.
Yeah.
I think. You know, when I booked it off after we got through in the first, in like the third round, just in case, when I booked it off work. But hopefully we can stay unbeaten in London the rest of the season, but will London be unbeaten at Elland Road on Saturday?
I really don't know what to think of this Brentford team.
Brentford are weird because they're definitely a good team. There's no doubt about that. They are fucking seventh in the league, and I want it on record. Fair fucking play, Keith Andrews. I was wrong. I think a lot of it there is because the club is run so well, but I thought he would be a fucking disastrous appointment, and it clearly wasn't. I was wrong. But like, I did just watch him play against Wolves last night. And for the second half, they were goddamn awful.
On a tangent there, by the way, Wolves may not finish bottom here.
Oh, I don't think they will. I think that right now, when I watch them, I think they're a better team than Burnley.
Yeah. It'd be hilarious. I mean, when we played Brentford, you know, obviously we went into that game with Brentford having, I think, was it the best home record in the division at that point? It was either that or second.
Yeah, and they were even higher than they are now, weren't they, at the time? They were.
Yeah, right. And, like, I couldn't, they were fine. And we were also fine, hence the draw.
It was one piece, which was probably reasonable, but if either team looked better, it was us.
Yeah, and the times I've watched them since then, like, I don't know what it is about them. Like, they're clearly very good at getting these results. Yesterday aside, but I really don't know what to make of them.
No,
obviously they've got a massive long throw on them.
Yeah, Michael Keogh, he does look. It's not just that he's got a really good long throw; he just looks like a really good player. He might be there because there's always one every summer, isn't there, that from Brentford is going to go somewhere for a load of money. I think it might be him this summer, especially with long throws being in fashion so much. That's going to add money.
Oh, Arsenal will be all over that. Arsenal will be, you know, starting to push for special teams.
Arsenal buy him. You're like, how many right backs do you need?
just to go back to what you said earlier about kind of how the setup at Brentford probably gave them a better opportunity, even if you are just promoting from within. Mm. I mean, if you've gone through a summer where you've lost, you know, your two best attacking players and you've recruited well in getting a new centre forward.
Well, they've lost Wissler and Bermo. They lost Christian Norgaard as well out of midfield because he went to Arsenal. Like, and a change of manager. It is no wonder that Did I have him to go down? I don't think I did, but
I think I did.
But several of us did, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had us, Sunderland and Burnley. You had Brentford, Wolves, Burnley. Connie had Brentford going down as well. Yeah, Alex, Benny and Danny did not.
So,
but little Danny did have Keith Andrews as first manager to go, as did Connie, as did Alex.
Oh, but I didn't.
No, you had Vita Pereira, who is currently employed in the Premier League, just not where he started.
Yeah.
Who actually was first to go?
Vito Pereira, who got a new contract.
And got sacked in the space of about 4 weeks.
But yeah,
it was Nuno, wasn't it, that was the first to go from Forest.
And second was probably Ange.
Quite possibly.
But yeah, like they've equipped themselves well. Obviously you mentioned that Norgaard was another one who went, and I was about to say Dean Henderson. Jordan Henderson has been a good signing for them.
Yeah, again, who I thought would be a really poor signing. I thought that he wouldn't have the legs to play week in, week out in the Premier League anymore.
Yeah, they've recruited well. I just don't think any of us saw it going as well as this. But yeah, the times I've watched them, I don't think there's anything special about them. And they're a team I look at, despite them being seventh and not that far, you know, only 3 or 4 points off fifth and sixth at this point. They are a team that I do think you could beat at Elland Road.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the prices yet, so I'm going to look now. But I would not be at all surprised if we're favourites with the bookies, because Leeds at home is always too short. Yep, Leeds are 29-20, Brentford are 13-8, so we are marginal favourites.
Yeah.
Which, given their seventh, it would be surprising if you hadn't seen that. They're probably slightly underrated and we're slightly overrated by bookies. But their team, I think, will be, unless they've got a load of players coming back, looking at who was their bench, I think theirs will stay fairly similar to how it was last night, which was Kelleher in goal, Coyote, Vandenberg, Collins and Keane Lewis-Potter as the back four, Henderson sitting, Mateus Jensen, who I'm really starting to like as a player now that I'm seeing more of him, and Damsgaard, who everyone likes because he's really good. And then Sharda and Watara out wide and Igor Thiago up top, who scored again. It was a tap-in given to him by Watara, but still scored again. It was just got called up by Brazil as well.
I do think this is a step up on the, what was it at the time, the Brentford and Brighton goalkeepers being selected for Spain. I think if we can now go into a World Cup where Brentford's centre-forward is leading the line for Brazil.
Yeah.
We've moved somewhere else in the world.
Yeah, what in the Football Manager is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, he's got like 19 Premier League goals by middle of March. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You can be from any country in the world. If you've got 19 Premier League goals in March, you're getting called up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's having a fantastic season.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of penalties in there, but he's a really good leader. That was the one thing, and it might not happen this time, but one of our main takeaways from the away game was that he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he'd had a quiet one.
Yeah. Only changes that you could say. I mean, there's always a chance. They sometimes go to a back three, and I guess we're one of the ones that they might do it against because of how we play. In which case, they'd probably bring in Ethan Pinnock or Christopher Ayer to play there.
Solid Premier League centre-backs.
Yeah, and you'd drop out probably one of Watara or Damsgaard and move stuff around. I can't really see anyone else. That Yarmolyuk could play midfield. They quite like him. And they've got... like, Rhys Nelson came off the bench, but he didn't cover himself in glory and missed an absolute sitter. So I'd be surprised to see him come in. So like it's a solid team. The one thing with them is, even though they're not spectacular, there's not a player I've named there in their probable lineup that I don't think is a good player.
Yeah.
Keane Lewis Potter is really a winger that's playing as sort of a fullback wing back. So in theory, if you can get at him, you might be able to get some change out of him defensively. But he's pretty good. Like, he's learned that position well. I don't think he's in any way a liability.
He's become their Stuart Dallas, I think, at times, because I think he plays fullback, can play as a winger, can seemingly play centre mid as well.
Oh, yeah, if you dropped him into middle midfield, it'd be fine, because he's quite physical.
He's been a good player for them this sort of last 18 months.
Yeah, because he was Hull, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a good player. Obviously, we are way too early in the week to have any team news, just the way it's worked out with work and stuff. We did, although it didn't last due to the red card, we did get the 11 a lot closer to what we were wanting with stacking midfield to give that bit more progression. I think he'll keep that. Obviously, Goodmanson's suspended, but Justin left wing back, Bogle right wing back.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think there'll be any other changes? Do you think maybe he won't play Metcher and Calvert-Lewin?
I'd like him to stick with the two, especially at home, because, again, we're getting to the point now where you're looking at the games we've got left. And between this Wolves and Burnley, those are probably your three. I know essentially that's half the games we've got at this point, but they are good chances to get 3 points.
Yeah.
And I think...
If you're taking into account any sort of form, you do have to add Spurs away to that list, because they've won 2 home games in about 18 months.
Yeah. but I'd certainly think, especially going in, because we've got the international break after this as well, if you can go into that with a win, I think it puts everyone in quite a good mood. Like, I know you're not clear. I know we're not safe by any means if we win this one. But you go into that 2 weeks and just, I think it leaves everyone with a fair bit of positivity.
Yeah, it would be an absolutely massive weekend to get one. Main reasons being that on the Sunday, 2:15, Spurs Forest.
Ooh.
Like, it would be an enormous result, because someone is dropping points.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that Villa West Ham game there and just thinking, 6 weeks ago, I'd have said, yeah, Villa will win that. I've watching Villa these last few weeks, I'm not at all confident.
I know which team has looked like a better side in the last 4 weeks, and in Villa.
Yeah,
but with Forest playing Spurs, if we were to win, you end up, we could jump to, we've already got 2 points on Spurs and 3 points on Forest, like 5 or 6 points clear. Like, regardless of what happens anywhere else, if we win. Because they're either drawing and it's 5, or it's 5 clear of Forest, or it's 5 clear of Spurs, or it's 6 clear of Forest.
And the other
this
side.
Would be, it's not must win, but it's such a huge one. I think if we win it, there's a very good chance it's the game that we look back on as that's when.
Well, I mean, I imagine if you're a West Ham fan as well, and you're looking at that Spurs Forest game, thinking if we get a win here, we're out of the bottom three.
Yeah.
And then what it does to either one of those teams. Obviously, Spurs, I imagine Igor Tudor's got himself a bit of a stay of execution with a point that they absolutely deserved from...
Oh, Liverpool. Yeah. I mean, I watched that game and I spent the entire second half going, well, Spurs are going to score here because Liverpool are playing shite.
Yeah. And lo and behold.
Yeah.
If Forest dropped into the bottom three, there's every chance they end up with a new manager.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you say, if I'd pay good money for Villa to win this, to just roll back the clock 2 months and just go, no, we're not going to play well, but we're going to win it 2-0. But yeah, like I say, I think if you're Spurs, especially if you drop into that bottom three all of a sudden, I know there's every chance that they can end up getting a motivator in who might lift them. But like I said, they haven't played well consistently since September, and even then, that wasn't great.
Yeah, it's sort of a.
They started the first five games of the season. They were decent, and then I think it's been all downhill since then.
Yeah, I was just getting the document up for the predictions and realised, oh, you had a one all draw, KC, so you're the only one that got any points. Because everyone else had lose or win. I will have to tweet out the predictions because obviously we're early in the week and I haven't had them off people yet, but we can do ours. I don't think in this situation my heart can take going for a win, so I'm going 2-2. I very nearly went for us to lose like 3-0 just because preparing myself for what feels inevitable to a pessimist like me.
I think we do it. I'm going to say a 2-0 win.
I'll get the ones off everyone else slightly later in the week. But we really can take a giant step towards staying up if we win this. It is that thing that I was on about before with the odds. Like you will see us jump from 5-6 to 1 to 16-20 to 1 if we win this.
Yeah.
Because if you are, if you're 5 points clear with, what, 7 games left? And they do a lot of playing each other. It would become a really... the sort of position that only Leeds could get relegated from is what it would become. But that's all a big if. Just hopefully we can win. I might have to have a substantial bet on Brentford or draw to try and jinx it. The other games that affect us are all Sunday, aren't they?
Yeah, look.
Yeah, West Ham, Spurs, Forest.
Yeah. I'm not even mentioning Burnley now.
No, if they go on a ridiculous run, fair play to them. But yeah, that will it'll be a massive weekend. I've just seen a message off Ali. He's got us to win 2-1, so hopefully he's right. But I think that will do it. Oh, I didn't watch any of it. The 21s won last night, 1-0 against Spurs, which is a good result. Chadwick again, who does look a decent little player. I'd say the 21s should be more interesting next year because it sounds like they're bringing a load of players in.
Daryl Ombang's gone out, hasn't he? He's
gone to Fecum, hasn't he?
Yeah. The protest club.
Yeah, protesting scum. But still scum.
Yeah.
We just care less.
Yeah.
We have sent a couple of... not even ever signed him. Can you remember when we nicked those two kids off Carlisle? One of them went there, and I can't remember his name. The winger one, because it was Liam McCallan was the other one.
Yeah,
and he ended up playing ever so slightly, but the other one I can't remember. But that will do us for episode 354. Unless something weird happens, we won't be back until next week. But hopefully, by that point, we are in a much stronger position, and we can all calm down a little bit. Something tells me we won't be calm at all. I've been Jack Sear.
Okay, see you. Have a good one.
Fuck you, Thomas Bramall.